Some people merely talk Christ, while others live Christ and give convincing evidence of their inward commitment. There is no question about believers who are living out the in-living Christ. They produce works that glorify and honor the Savior they follow and love. I wonder how it is with you. Are you a practicing Christian or merely a preaching Christian? Evidently, what is written in John chapters 15 and 16 was spoken by our Lord to his disciples as they walked toward Gethsemane. The instruction began with the parable of the vine and the branches. Possibly, as they passed the temple, Christ saw the golden vine that adorned the gate, and thus spoke of the true vine. As this is a parable, we should consider the main details and not try to make everything fit into a theological mold. The general teaching is Christ living in and through the believer, giving him strength and power for all things. Now in verse 1, Jesus declared, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." Some had taught that Judaism was the vine. Jews feared excommunication more than anything else. To a conscientious Jew, to be banished from the synagogue would mean being cut off from God. In verse 2, Christ, being the one true vine, could say, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." This sentence has disturbed many. For those who have denied the doctrine of eternal security, it has been a much-used proof text. Our Lord was speaking of what appeared to be branches in the vine, hypocrites who professed to follow Christ, but their lives proved otherwise. Possibly our Lord had Judas in mind. Regardless of one's profession, if his life does not bear spiritual fruit, it is evident that he has never truly been born again. Now in the next verse, Jesus said, "In every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it," that is, that it may bring forth more fruit. The fruitless branch is destroyed while the fruitful branch is purged. God the Father does the purging since he is the husbandman. Pruning is essential for fruit bearing. Likewise, trials are necessary for growth in grace. I read in Genesis 41:52, "God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." Well, the scriptures and our own experience tell us that it is not possible for a Christian to be fruitful without affliction. One time a dear saint of God asked, "Why must I have all these heartaches and problems? If I am a child of God, and if Christ is ever present, why doesn't he take care of me?" Well, of course, God was taking care of her. There is never a time when he does not care for his own. The fact of the trial is the evidence of God's nearness and provision, that we might produce fruit. There are times when the husbandman must come with his pruning knife and trim off all the hindrances to fruit bearing, such as pride, selfishness, and unkindness. The pruning process must be repeated. The little shoots that are cut away soon reappear. Thus, the husbandman goes to work again. Let us not complain about our trials, but realize that in every adversity, God, our husbandman, is at work. Romans 8:28 says, "All things work together for good to them that love God." The fourth verse reads, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." Now the word "abide" used by our Lord here suggests a continuous struggle of clinging to God. It is to commit our load of care to him and trust him in everything. If the servant of God does this, the result will be what? Fruit. Verse 5, Jesus said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth," what? "Much fruit." In verse 2, Christ speaks of fruit, then more fruit. Now, it is much fruit. This reminds us of growth in the Christian life. If one is abiding in Christ, You will go from fruit to more fruit to much fruit. But we must remember, growth is of God. Jesus said, "For without me ye can do nothing." No one can produce fruit apart from the power of Jesus Christ. We must live dependently every moment of every day. Paul declared in Romans 7, verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." What was true of Paul is true of each one of us. Verse 6, "If a man abide not in me," Jesus said, "he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." Now, this is not falling from grace, as some have taught. Again, Christ is speaking of the hypocrites, the mere professors of Christianity, who have never entered into a living, vital relationship with him. They abide not in Christ because they are not really one with Christ. They go through the motions, but their fruitless lives provide the proof of their pretense. They are like dead branches lying on the ground that are gathered up and burned. Among these will be church members, good people, many who have given generously of their means to others, but they lack one essential. They have never entered into a heart relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as Savior and Lord. God says of them, in Revelation chapter 14, verses 10 and 11, "The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up for ever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." Friend, hell is real. Hell is not only for those who have rebelled against God. Hell is for the hypocrites. I hope your profession of faith is real in Christ. I hope the very moment you asked Christ to come into your heart, there was a change in your life, that you forsook sin to follow the Savior, whatever the cost. And I hope that you're living for him day by day. If not, make your profession real. You need to pray with God's servant, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." If you are not in the way everlasting, you can be, simply by coming before God and saying, "Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I want to be saved. I want to change. I want to follow you and not my own way." God will do business with you right now. He's ready, and I hope you are. Trust him today. Father God, I pray that you work in hearts, draw some to yourself. And for those of us who claim Jesus as our very own, help us to live Christ at all times. Grant that we may not be selfish, that we may not be proud, that we may not be covetous, that we shall truly glorify the Lord in a manner that pleases him and honors him. Oh, we see so many today, our Father, who are following the way of the flesh, who give no evidence of new life, and yet they say they belong to Jesus. God, help them to realize before it is too late that we must make our profession of faith real before the world. Have your way, glorify yourself through us, and may Jesus be praised. For I ask for his glory and for his name's sake. Amen.